Father, we thank you. Father, we glorify your name. Father, let your mighty name be glorified even as we sit at your feet. Father, O Lord, speak to us. Be glorified, O Lord. Father, even as I share your word, less of me and more of you. Father, O Lord, convict us and transform us by your word. Let your Holy Spirit bring illumination. And Father, may we not leave the same. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Amen. Turn to someone and tell the person, God bless you for coming to church. Tell someone sitting beside you, God bless you for coming to church. If you are sitting alone, tell yourself, God bless you for coming to church. Amen. God is good. So last Sunday we started a series on the Song of Songs. The Song of Songs known as the Songs of Solomon. And after yesterday's teaching, I had a few comments. The three top comments were, one, Pastor Perry, you made me feel very uncomfortable. I was very uncomfortable. I wanted the ground to open up so that I ran away. That was what someone told me. Another person told me, Pastor Perry, this is the first time I've heard a teaching from the Songs of Songs. And I was like, oh, wow. We bless God. And the last one was, Pastor Perry, in the light of the Song of Songs, is it just for couples or is it just for singles or is it for both? And I remember clearly that, yes, last Sunday, I was very intentional about pointing that which is for couples and that which is for singles. And I encourage you again, in the light of the things you might hear, I know they are not so new to you, especially in the light of this era, but make sure that biblically you are holding on to that which is good for you as a single or that which is good for you as a couple. Amen. So again, today we are going on to the second part of our series. And next Sunday is going to be the final part of the series. But this Sunday, we are going to look at the essence of purity. We are going to look at the essence of the anointing and also the little foxes. Purity, the anointing, and the little foxes. How do we say purity in Chinese? What? Jinbai. Chinbai. Is that it? Chinbai. What? Chuanqing. Chuanqie. 对,多可以啊. And how do we say the anointing in Chinese? The anointing. Brother James, can you help us? How do we say the anointing in Chinese? Anybody know? Gao. Wow. And how do we say little foxes? Xiao hulu. Huli. Huli, like the place Huli. Oh. Like henceforth, anytime I'm going to Huli, I'll tell my wife, I'm going to the city of foxes. So, yes, and again, our key verse is Song of Songs 8:6-7, and it's pointing out the very truth. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is fierce as the grave. Its flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. If a man offered for love all the wealth of his house, he would be utterly despised. So the reality is, love is an important subject. Love is important. And we need to always view love in the context of the Bible. We shouldn't view love in the context of the world. We should look at love from how God has called us to look at love. Amen. And in summary, I wrote this paragraph. That is from last Sunday. I wrote, the Song of Songs is not a book just to be seen and understood for pointing to the Messiah and his love for the church, but must more importantly be seen beyond the text and its divine inference to a mirror of our own lives. And how is that done? How we view love, how we view marriage, how we view godly sexuality, all that we are and do must glorify God. And our understanding and actions on love and sexuality is no different. So it's very important to understand that the place of love, the place of marriage, should also be seen in the light of what God has prescribed for us. Amen. Amen. And we highlighted two key points with reference to what we'll be looking at. And last Sunday, we touched on building your marriage through the Songs of Songs. Building your marriage through the Songs of Songs. And in the light of that, I presented five key points. And the first key point I highlighted was this. Based on Song of Songs 4:1-7. Chapter 4:1-7. And after we read, I said this. As couples, you have to think highly of your partner. And don't keep it to yourself. Tell your partner. Learn the power of praise and complimenting your partner. Learn the power of praise and complimenting your partner. Don't keep it inside you. Amen. Then we also read Song of Songs, chapter 7, 11 to 12. And we understood the importance of doing things together. Do things together. Do things together. As a couple, learn how to do things together. Don't just be separate in your own lives, in your own bubbles. The more you do things together, the more you foster the love. Amen. And I continue saying, praying, studying the Bible, cooking, eating, attending events, serving. These are all important. And I highlighted one important thing as well. Please and please again, to the couples who have babies, who have children, don't let the children come in between you and your spouse. You are together, you were together before the children came, and you will be together after the children go. So be intentional about the time you spend together. Although the kids will demand, make sure your partner doesn't feel left out, especially the men. Majority of the times, the women get so captivated with the baby, they forget that we, the husbands, also need love. Amen. Now let's go to the third point. Songs of Songs 7:1-4, again I highlighted. Be intentional about your sexual attraction for each other. Don't take it lightly. Be very deliberate about your sexual attraction. The idea of sexuality is godly. Sexual attractions are godly. You need to preserve it in the right frame. And in the light of marriage, you need to make sure you have a sexual attraction to your spouse. I remember during counseling, they asked me, what is my favorite part of my wife? And I said, oh, I like the way she speaks the truth. And the pastor was looking at me like, are you serious? What do you like about her body? And I'm like, trying to be so pious, oh, I've not really taken note of her body. He said, you are a liar. You see, it's not wrong to appreciate the body of your spouse. That shouldn't be the main thing that you look out for, but it's not wrong. It's not wrong. But for we singles who are here, we need to make sure we understand the place of purity. The best preparation you can make for your marriage is to be pure. Don't listen to the world saying, oh, you need to test the engine before you board the car. It's a lie. It's a lie. So if you are going to attempt to marry 7 men, are you going to test all 7 engines? It's not true. Amen. Then the fourth one was Songs of Songs 5:16. There is a need for a specific mental state of your partner that encourages love one for another. Set your spouse apart. Let your spouse be different. How you treat your spouse should be very different from every other person. Don't let your spouse be lost among people. When you are standing with your spouse, let people know this is your spouse. And have boundaries with other people. Have boundaries. Don't just allow people to do or say things around you. No. Have boundaries. Have boundaries. Amen. I don't want to. If I go deeper, I will finish by 1 p.m. So the idea of setting your spouse apart is by letting yourself and other people know you are married. You are married. And for the single ones, if you are dating a guy and the guy tells you, oh, don't make it public. I like things to be secret. Don't tell your mother. Don't tell your father. Don't tell your pastor. That is a red flag. That is a red flag. A similar thing happened in this church, and the guy was pursuing two best friends at the same time. Very, very wicked guy. Very, very wicked guy. Amen. Amen. But it's not right. You see, the Bible speaks in Matthew chapter 5. Nobody lights a lamp and hides it under a what? A bushel. If it is good, it should be seen. If it is good, you should be held accountable. Amen. The fifth one was, let the knowledge of ownership of your partner sink in well. She is yours. He is yours. You have a responsibility to improve your spouse. When you marry, you own each other. And it is your responsibility to improve, make better your partner. I have nothing, I have no qualms when my wife says, you are mine, I own you. I love it. I actually find it very romantic, you know, when she tells me, I own you. Because I am hers. And she, likewise, is mine. The idea of ownership is not to abuse, but to be responsible for. Amen. And we highlighted 5 points that also speak of ungodly relationships. Ungodly relationships. The first point I said was, every ungodly relationship will destroy your relationship with God. If the relationship you are in is ungodly, it will destroy your relationship with God. Beware. The second thing we mentioned is, it destroys your God-given purpose. Every relationship that is ungodly will not allow you to flourish in the way God has ordained you to flourish. Then the third point we highlighted was this. Every ungodly relationship leaves you in a physical, emotional, and psychological mess. You realize you are losing yourself. You realize you are getting mentally unstable. Ungodly relationships affect you, and they will destroy you. The fourth point, it can cost you your life. And I say this to those who are single, who are not married yet, but you are dating. I don't believe in the essence of dating as in dating, but let's, for the sake of the culture, you are dating. It's better to have a broken relationship than a divorced marriage. I'm going to say that again. It's better to have a broken relationship than a divorced marriage. You've not married him yet. You've not married her yet. You are seeing dangerous signs. Don't say, oh, when I marry him, I will change him. You are not the Holy Spirit. Don't say, oh, he's just going through a phase in life. He will change when we get married. People don't change like that. And there are two things I normally tell people. If the person can beat you, abuse you, when you are not married, don't wait till you get married. If the person can cheat on you, don't wait. Amen. I like it when I say important things and the babies laugh. And the fifth point, an ungodly relationship is marked with lies, sexual immorality, and abuse. We move on. So today, we are looking at the idea of purity, the anointing, and the little foxes. Purity, the anointing, and the little foxes. And even as I read through, I prepared, I came out with this paragraph that sums up my state of mind and the big idea I want you to walk away with. So I wrote, in the Songs of Songs, we see the heart of true love. So the heart of true love is a constant pursuit. And this constant pursuit begins with our relationship with God. We are supposed to run hard after the Lord. In a dry and weary land, I seek thee. My flesh longs after thee. We have to run hard after the Lord. We don't let anything separate us. Romans chapter 8. What then shall separate us from the love of the Lord? Nothing. So the idea of true love is the pursuit. And I went on to write, a seeking and finding that constantly is growing. That is why, as part of your requirement for a good husband, you need to find a husband that is born again. I said this the last time. Do not marry someone who is not a Christian. Do not marry someone that is not a Christian. And if you are going to marry a Christian, don't marry someone because they preach or lead worship. Someone might be preaching, but their heart may be far away from God. Genuinely check if the person is running after the Lord. And two, make sure whoever you are marrying is teachable. It means the person is willing to learn, unlearn, and relearn. Because marriage is a journey of constant growth. And we will learn, unlearn, and relearn. Otherwise, we'll be fighting over the same thing every day. So, the idea is seeking and finding in a place of consistent growth. Highlighting God's love and desire for us. It also mirrors our disposition towards our first love, Jesus, and the sacred covenant of marriage. The idea of how we relate to Jesus, how we ought to pursue him, and the idea of how marriage is a sacred covenant. Remember, even as we did the overview of Songs of Songs, we realized that in the third part, from chapter 5 to chapter 8, the bride and the groom speak of how sacred marriage is and the fact that marriage is supposed to be an eternal covenant. Amen. Don't enter into marriage thinking already of divorce. It's not good. The reality of marriage is that the original plan was for marriage to be eternal, in the sense of to be till death do you part. But then, because of the hardness of the heart, Moses granted divorce. The hardness of the heart with regards to infidelity. If someone cheats on you in marriage, and you can't stay with the person because the person is unrepentant, it's a serial cheat, it's wise to be separated. And I choose my words carefully. I'm not handling them loosely. If life is being threatened, in essence, you are with an abusive wife, it's wise to be separated. Going on, I wrote, our understanding and actions of love must bear the hallmarks of holiness that is inspired by our Father who is holy. The expression of our walk in the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is in, and the appreciation for every action and word echoing the principle of greatness in seemingly small things. So, looking through the Songs of Songs, you would see principles that also help build up godly marriages. And the first principle here we see is purity, in the sense that the expression of holiness in mind, heart, and body as a result of the holiness we see in our Father. And we also see the place of the anointing, the expression of the Holy Spirit through the vessel. And in essence, we express the Holy Spirit through His fruits and through His gifts, because the Holy Spirit is in us. And then the place of the little foxes. How we don't trivialize little things. Oh, it's just a white lie. White lies destroy marriage. Oh, I won't forgive you. I will hold it against you. And I will remind you every year. It will destroy the marriage. So let's begin with a place of purity. Let's begin with a place of purity. Songs of Songs 8 verse 4. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you not stir up or awaken love until it pleases. So it says, do not awaken love before its time. As a single person, don't stir up love before its time. Don't be doing things that are meant for the institution of marriage. Choose your words carefully. Choose your timings carefully. Set boundaries. Some people already destroy their marriages before they get into marriages. How? They throw purity out of the window. Do not stir up love or awaken love before its time. Guard your heart with all diligence. Amen. Get to know someone. Pray about the situation first before you fall in love. Don't fall in love and now bring the person before the Lord and say, Father, what do you think about this guy? He's cute, oh Lord. Meanwhile, you've already fallen in love. So even when you are seeing the red flags, you're already gone. And men, also watch out for the red flags. Men, watch out for the red flags. In one article I read about the state of mental health in men, over 60% of couples were diagnosed of a state of unrest mentally. And this was men. And the worst part is they all agreed they have no one to talk to. They have no one to talk to. So men, be very mindful. Be very mindful. Amen. Song of Songs 4 verse 7. Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go. You are altogether beautiful, my love. There is no flaw. The idea of flaw in you, when you read the Hebrew understanding, is like the way there is no impurity when you are refining ore. So literally, there is no impurity in you. Cheating, adultery, begins with a thought. Every temptation begins with a thought. What does the Bible say about Eve in the garden? And when she saw the fruit, she perceived that this fruit was good to be eaten. Then she grabbed the fruit. The stages of sin begin with exposure, inception, and then application. That's why be very careful what you expose yourself to as a married man. Certain conversations you shouldn't even have. Certain conversations you shouldn't have. The worst part are those who say, my best friend is a girl. Hey! You're a married man. You're a married man and you tell your wife your best friend is a woman. Have you seen a cat whose best friend is fried fish? Oh, we are best friends. Hey! And you are a lady. You say, oh, I feel comfortable with male friends. What lie is that? I feel comfortable with male friends. So all your friends you hang out with are males. You stay with them and you... Oh, woman of God. When you get married, draw the line. Draw the line. I was talking to Sister Juliet, and Sister Juliet said, with other ladies, and Sister Juliet said, you know, I don't even accept just any random guy's WeChat. And I'm like, come on, that's boundaries. And then I heard Brother Andy say, when it comes to counseling, if it's a lady, I prefer my wife to do that. Have boundaries. Don't think that you are so strong. There are some places we shouldn't find a married man. There are some conversations it shouldn't come out of your mouth. A married woman, there are some places we shouldn't find you. Be careful of the things you watch, you listen to. Because once the seed is sown, it will grow. What did God tell Cain? What did God tell Cain? He says, sin is at your door. And it will mature and become death. You would welcome it and slowly it will be growing till it kills you. And the worst part is it will not destroy only you. It will destroy your spouse as well. God help us. And now there's this thing about side chicks. I'm married, but I have a side chick. I have a spare tie. What are some of the names they call it? I have a mistress. It is not godly. It is not right. It is not right. It's not holy. When you are married, stay with your wife. You will see more beautiful women. Decide in your mind, it is your wife only you will want. Amen. God is faithful. I summarize it by saying this. Walking in purity and pursuing a holy life is not for the benefit of God, but rather us and for those we love. As we focus and engage with God in His Word and in prayer, every desire for sin fades away. Our desire is for the heart of the Father. What He loves, we love, and what He hates, we hate. Amen. Let's go to the place of the anointing. And I said this, the anointing is the expressing the Holy Spirit. It's the expression of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The anointing is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. The anointing is the enablement of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. In simple, the anointing is the Holy Spirit. Songs of Songs 1, 2 to 4. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For your love is better than wine. Your anointing oils are fragrant. Your name is oil poured out. Therefore, virgins love you. Draw me after you. Let us run. The king has brought me into his chambers. The idea of kisses in this context speaks of some sort of intimacy, some sort of engagement. In the place of our fellowship with the Lord, the influence of the Holy Spirit grows in us. The only way we can be submissive and can be filled with the Holy Spirit is through the Word of God and through prayer. It says, for your love is better than wine. What does Ephesians say? It's better to be filled with the Holy Spirit than with wine. Wherein what? Excess. The reality is this. His love for us, the presence of the Holy Spirit in us, is better than wine. And that should be our desire, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. As a single lady, desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit so much that you can discern the men who are coming towards you. Discernment is important. There was a time back in Ghana, when we got married, very new, one lady came to me and my wife said, be careful of this lady. I didn't think much of it. I'm like, hey, you are so protective. I didn't think much of it. Then I remember, and this lady was in the church. And I remember in one Bible study, the lady said something that just reminded me of what my wife said. She said, all the good men are married. You see, Pastor Perry is married. Now we don't have any good men again. I said, be careful. And for women, I want to choose my words carefully. Your intuitive abilities are more heightened than us men. So when you sense something as a woman, pray about it. Don't think it's just for no reason. Your husband is at work. You feel like praying for him. Pray for him. As a man, pray for your wife. Very important. Let the Holy Spirit fill you and let the Holy Spirit overflow onto your spouse. Then it says, your anointing oils are fragrant. In Corinthians, we understand that we are the fragrance of God. We are a sweet-smelling aroma unto the Lord. Every human being spiritually has got a fragrance. Based on your action, based on your understanding, based on your living, you have a sweet-smelling fragrance, or you smell like rotten onions. Be very cautious how you live. Be very cautious. It's not just about the outward beauty. You may look good on the outside, but inside your soul, your spirit is muffled. Be very cautious. And he goes on to say, your name is oil poured out. Therefore, the virgins love you. The idea of oil, the idea of the anointing, speaking of the expressions of the Holy Spirit, can also point to the place of service. The idea of service is very critical in the line of marriage and before marriage. When Abraham was looking for a wife for Isaac, he sent out his servant. And the servant, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, picked up a scheme. And the scheme was to what? Sit by the well until what? Someone comes to pour water and ask for water. And that would be the sign. In your singleness, serve. In your singleness, serve. Don't hide. Serve. And be obedient to the leading of the Spirit. In the story of Naomi and Ruth, we see Naomi directing Ruth go into his chamber after Boaz has slept, eating and slept, lay at his feet, uncover his feet. And Naomi is the Holy Spirit directing us, even in our singleness. Naomi is the Holy Spirit directing us, even in our marriages, to care for our spouse. Don't neglect the Holy Spirit. Don't neglect service. Draw me after you. Let us run. The king has brought me into his chambers. The idea of the king bringing you into his chambers symbolizes favor. It's by grace. It's by grace. A good marriage is by grace. A good husband is by grace. A good wife is by grace. Pray, ask the Lord for favor. You may be in a marriage, things may not be going as you want. Pray. Pray for your spouse. Don't give up. Ask the Lord to touch their hearts. You may be single. pray. Tell the Lord to bring you a woman after his own heart. Pray. It's better to be filled with the Holy Spirit than with wine, wherein excess. As believers, we are called to a life of intimacy with the Holy Spirit as he leads us to be obedient in fellowship and service. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The little foxes. The little foxes. Small things matter. Turn to someone and tell the person, small things matter. Shake the person by the shoulder. Tell the person, small things matter. You know, I was counseling a couple, and the root cause of the problems they were having was because the man, when he wakes up, he doesn't lay the bed. So I spoke to the man. Do you know your wife doesn't like it when you leave the bed unlaid? Oh, come on, Pastor. This is just flimsy. This is just something small. Then the wife started going. Even when he eats, he leaves the bowls in the sink. He never washes it. And the one that struck me, when he finishes bathing, he leaves the front of the bathroom so wet. Then I'm like, I think I'm a victim. The little things are important. When you are dealing with people, you don't have the privilege of determining what hurts them or what affects them. You don't determine that. So if your spouse tells you, I don't like this, stop it. Me, I grew up like that, so I don't think I can do anything about it. Hey. In my house, we never clean the bathroom. I grew up with boys, so although I'm a girl, I just talk directly. Meanwhile, your husband has told you, the way you talk, I don't like it. The little things. You have never said sorry to your wife. You have never said sorry to your husband. After you make a mistake, as a woman, sex is not equal to sorry. I don't know where people quote this thing from. If a woman makes a mistake, they think once they make love to their husband, everything is okay. In the beginning, the men, we will be okay. But it's not good. Learn to speak. Learn to speak. Making love to your husband is not a way of apologizing and admitting that you made a mistake. Learn to say it. Darling, I spoke to you harshly. I'm sorry. Oh, babes, I'm very sorry that I forgot your birthday. And sometimes you have to learn to forgive. We may forget your birthday 70 times 7. Because even we ourselves, our birthdays, we don't remember. But learn to forgive. And you, man, to try not to repeat the same thing. You know, the reality is, if someone is always asking for forgiveness, but they go and repeat the same thing, it's like they don't cherish you. They don't appreciate you. If you say sorry, decide not to repeat it. The way you are looking at me like I'm speaking Greek. If you apologize, try as much as possible not to repeat it. On my phone, March 27th is highlighted as a very important date with 5 reminders. In my email, I have a spontaneous email address, 5 a.m., every March 27th and September 9th. Those dates are very important to me. A matter of life and death. Think of how you will not repeat some of these mistakes. Your wife says, I don't like this. Think of how you will not repeat it. Be intentional about not repeating it. And the greatest enemy of change, that is the way I am. Oh, me, I'm a man. I don't apologize. God forgive you. Songs of Solomon 15:2-17. Let's read together. Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil the vineyards. For our vineyards are in blossom. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He gazes among the lilies until the day breathes and the shadows flee. Turn, my beloved, be like a gazelle or a young stag on cleft mountains. Have you seen the way gazelles and mountain goats behave on the mountain? Very skillful, very energetic. They are intentional. Be very intentional about your dealings with your wife. Be very intentional about the questions you ask the person you are dating. Now, you can't go and be asking those old questions. What is your favorite color? Do you like pizza with pineapple? No. Now, you need to ask important questions. What is your sickle cell type? Are you AS or AA? Because if they are AS and you are AS, mafang. You know that, right? You really don't know that? So, oh Lord. Brother Stephen, please remind us, we need to do a small group on the health preparation for marriage. And I think we have medical students here, right? Nessa, you're a medical student, right? Nessie, you know how important that is, right? Because if you are AS and you marry an AS or an SS, you can have an SS baby, which is a sickle cell baby. And the sickle cell baby will suffer. And you want to be intentional to avoid suffering. Some people, in the name of faith, say it's not important. I want to still be old-fashioned and say it's important. Don't take it for granted. I've seen mothers and fathers who have broken down because of taking care of sickle cell babies. Ask the important questions before you get too deep. As a young lady, before you marry, ask the man, do you owe anybody money? Because a lot of the men, they are owing money and they come into the marriage. And by the time you realize, where is your salary? Oh, before we got married, I was owing $8,000. Hey! Ask important questions. Ask important questions. How are we going to deal with your mother and father when we get married? Hey, no. Nobody comes between my mother and I. Ladies, if you hear a man say, nobody comes between my mother and I, remove your shoe. Put it under your armpit and do what? Run. You are marrying the man. You are not marrying his mother. Ask important questions. Now is not the time to be asking. Give me some of the questions, the romantic questions they've been asking. Give me some. What? Have you eaten this morning? What is the name of your dog? Please ask important questions. So, do you have a pet? You see, my wife was telling me that it's good we are talking about some of these things because some people will never hear these things. And I pray that even as the Lord has willed for you to hear these things, you will work with them. Amen. Singles, I want to say this. Marriage is not complicated, but marriage is hard work. I'm going to say that again. Marriage is not complicated, but marriage is hard work. May the Lord help us. So I wrote, We have to be intentional about our actions and are very observant concerning our dealings with people, especially those we love. What we do and what we fail to do have the power to destroy or blossom our relationships, especially the little things. Though small, if done repeatedly, has power. In conclusion, our knowledge of God's love for us and our corresponding love for Him is the bedrock for our love for one another. I'm going to take that again. Our knowledge of God's love for us and our corresponding love for Him is the bedrock for our love for one another. We can't claim to be children of God and light when our understanding and knowledge of love is shaped by the fallen world. Let's bow down our heads and let's pray. We are praying that the grace and mercy and favor of God be our guide in our love one for another.